Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, I behold the divine mother in you. I behold the divine mother in you. Yeah, I behold the divine mother in you. And that goes for the women and the men as well. The divine mother is in us all. You know, I was looking out, I saw some children. I said, I love the fact that children have come with their mothers to church. If you have come to church with your mother, I want you to just raise your hand for a minute. Isn't that wonderful? That is wonderful. Yeah. Yes. And Lapia, I saw that you got some flowers too. A little plant there, wonderful in your pink. Not only did your daughter come, but she brought you flowers. That's good. Yes, 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 yes. You know, that's one of the gifts, I think, the greatest gift that a child can give a mother is to come with them to something that they believe in. I know that I'm always here on Mother's Day, but my brother and my nephew always go and visit my mother every Mother's Day. And usually they go to the baseball game because that's their tradition. My mother loves sports, so they take her out to see the Mets. But this year she said she wasn't up for that, so they're just going to go to the movies. They're going to go see 42. And so she's looking forward to that. But, I never have to worry because I know that my brother is going to be there with her on Mother's Day. And that's such a beautiful gift, such a wonderful thing, I think, to just show that honor and that respect and that love, to do something that you know they like. You know, they go to lunch, but they know that she likes sports, so it's going to the Mets game. That's a wonderful gift. Now, I want to just share this before I start. I know that I said last week that we would continue with our series on the 12 symptoms of spiritual awakening. But that was before I realized that today was Mother's Day. And because I believe that motherhood is one of God's greatest expressions, I couldn't let this Sunday go without speaking on mothering. So we'll pick up on our series next week, and it's just another opportunity for you to come to church. But we'll do that next week, I promise. But William Thackeray said this. He said, Mother is the name of God in the lips and hearts of children. Isn't that beautiful? Mother is the name of God in the lips and hearts of children. I love that because to that young or that new soul, one's mother is the closest thing to God, right? She is our first or their first encounter with nurturance, the first encounter with life and life's sustainability and the sustenance that one needs for life. The mother is the first to offer that to that new soul, that new child. And as the child begins to grow, as we begin to unfold and move out of the womb and into the world, the mother also becomes our first experience of unconditional love and compassion and comfort, you know? Because think about it, you're just coming into a brand new experience. And most likely wailing and crying and screaming, and you're placed in the arms of your mother for comfort, right? For that sense of love and compassion. I believe that by far, a mother's love is the most powerful expression that there is. And I believe that we continue to search for that our whole lives. We could, even in our search for God, we are still searching and seeking for that love, right? It's something that gets impressed in our souls and it's impressed in our psyches when we are little and we're always looking, how can I get that feeling again? How can I feel connected? How can I feel that sense of assurance that I had that was impressed upon my soul when I was just a wee thing? And so we search. And we're looking for it. Maybe it's out here. Maybe you have the love that I'm looking for. Maybe you have that feeling of unconditional love that I'm searching for. And so we begin to continue our search, sometimes looking in all the wrong places. But we seek and we search nonetheless. And so I was thinking, instead of looking for it in others, you know, in other people, places, or things, what if we were to learn how to mother ourselves? To mother ourselves. Because for to do so would mean that we have tapped into the qualities of the divine feminine, or the mothering aspect of God within us. And there is a mothering aspect of God. I know sometimes that feels like blaspheming to those who come from a more traditional background, that we would even say, Father, Mother God. But there is that mothering aspect of the divine. There is that divine feminine. And if we think about it, you know, you can't have creation with just the Father. I say it every year, but sometimes, you know, there must be that mother aspect. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And so what if we were to learn then to mother ourselves, to go within and to touch that aspect of the divine within us? Because everybody could use a little mothering every once in a while, right? Amen. Even I don't care how old you get, you want a little mothering in your life. So I thought we would look at how we can learn to give it to ourselves. Now that first and greatest, I think, expression and experience from both God and from Mother is, of course, what I just said. It's the unconditional love that we experience. I think that's the first one of real significance. And Scripture says in Romans 8 that there's nothing that we could ever do that would separate us from the love of God. Nothing. And the same can be said, I believe, for our mothers, or for this whole concept, for most mothers. And whenever I'm talking about mothers, it's the majority. I know that there's always an exception to every rule, but that is not the norm. The norm is that there is a quality that comes with mothering that sustains and loves and nurtures us. So if God is saying that there's nothing that could ever separate us from the love of God, there's also nothing, I believe, that could separate us from the love of the mother. Because your mother will always love you no matter what. Right? Even when you don't always do right, act right, show out right, mother's going to love you no matter what. And we all long for unconditional love. Everybody wants to be loved unconditionally, just as we are. That's a soul's need and a soul's desire to be loved unconditionally. But the challenge comes, friends, is that outside of God and your mother, it's very hard to find unconditional love as given by others, right? It's very hard, and yet we seek it. We run to and fro. Maybe you'll love me unconditionally. Maybe you. But outside of God and your mother, it is quite challenging, because usually others will have some sort of boundaries to their love, some types of limitations. They'll have some expectations, you know, for their love, and maybe even some requirements. This is what is required to love me, right? And this is what's required for me to know that you love me. When you show this, or do this, or come that way, then I know you love me. So we have all these borders and boundaries and requirements and expectations that it's hard to meet sometimes, right? But what if you could love yourself unconditionally? Unconditionally. And I'm not talking about a narcissistic kind of love where we just look in the mirror and just say, aren't I lovely? You could do that from time to time, but not too much. But I'm not talking about that kind of self-love. I'm talking about a real and a true honoring and loving and acceptance of yourself. No matter what, because that's what unconditional love is. No matter what, you know, with all the warts, right? just as you are, with all the faults and the flaws and the things, if you could love yourself unconditionally. Because we have that, we have a hard time doing that. We even place conditions on our own selves about what we must do to be lovable or to be acceptable or to be seen as approving in the sight of others. I must be this, I must be the perfect weight, I must be have this perfect length of hair, I must have the whatever. We put all these limitations and boundaries on what we think we must be in order to be lovable. But what if we could just simply learn to love ourselves unconditional? Because the hardest judge and the hardest critic is what? Ourselves. And often to our own detriment, because that's what holds us back and keeps us from growing and unfolding and moving forward. So I'm thinking, why not really try loving and accepting yourself as your mother would and as God does? What if you could do that? That is, try to feel the love and high regard for yourself just because. Not because it's based on any condition or how well you can do something or even how well you think you're showing up. Not for any of that, but to love yourself simply because to do so is divine. It's divine. And you know why it's divine? Because it's how God expresses towards you with unconditional love. And it's how you should express towards yourself with nothing less than unconditional love for oneself. And it doesn't mean that when you have this unconditional love towards yourself and for yourself, it doesn't mean that there's also, you know, that there's no room for improvement. Because we can always improve, right? There's always something that we can do. We can improve ourselves. But what it does mean is that you are committed to love yourself, or the expression of love, or giving the expression of love towards yourself, no matter what, even if you need to improve. And speaking of improvement, Florida Maxwell said this. She said, no matter how old a mother is, she still watches her middle-aged children for signs of improvement. Don't you love, right? I know my mother's looking at the 50-something-year-old children and saying, I know they're going to improve. There's a possibility, right? See, because while your mother loves you unconditionally, she also thinks you can do better, right? The mother always thinks you can do better. And so while you are loving and mothering yourself, you can still strive to do better. You can still strive for growth and improvement. You just have to learn how to balance accepting where you are while you are also moving to where you want to be. See, that's the trick. Usually we can't get to where we want to be because we're not comfortable with where we are. And we're so busy fighting where we are and wish it was different. I wish I could do this. Well, you can't get there unless you understand and accept where you are and love where you are right now. That's a part of the process. Now, you wouldn't be mothering yourself without also learning to forgive yourself. Someone said this, that the heart of a mother is a deep abyss, and the bottom of which, where you will always find forgiveness. There's a deep well, see? You'll always find forgiveness, because the flip side of what makes unconditional love unconditional is the ability to forgive. The ability to forgive. To err is human, but to do what? To forgive is divine. To forgive is divine. We've got to find out a way to forgive ourselves, because forgiveness is going to be a must if you're going to learn how to mother yourself. It goes hand in hand. Loving yourself unconditionally means that you simply acknowledge your errors, not that you're not going to have any, although some mothers don't think their children have any, but that's all right. But you acknowledge your errors while you are also moving forward and moving on. You acknowledge them. Forgiveness is giving the truth for a particular error or the truth for a situation that allows you to move on. Now, for some of us, it takes a lot of courage and some inner strength, right, to really forgive. Because that's not an easy thing in some situations, or so we think. But it takes some courage. But for a mother has that, that inner strength to forgive her children. It's more easy for a mother to do that because of the innate, built-in sense of love that one has for the child. Mothers have the strength to love and the strength to forgive. Barbara King said that someone, her name is King, not Dr. Barbara, this is another Dr. Barbara. She says, sometimes the strength of a mother is greater than natural laws. I love that. Sometimes the strength of motherhood is greater than natural laws. And we have seen that, right? I think sometimes a mother, when you get a mama trying to protect her cubs or her children, there's nothing that she wouldn't do. And I say that she can do things greater than natural laws because that kind of love comes from God. It's a spiritual thing, right? And that sense of mother has this inner strength to endure many things for her children. She will endure many things for her children. See, a mother's gonna make it work no matter what. A mother's gonna put it all together no matter what. They're gonna find to make a way out of no way. If it's hard, mother's gonna do it hard if children are involved. They're gonna make a way out of no way. If she's got 10 children and 2 cans of pork and beans, she gonna make those 2 cans of pork and beans feed those 10 children. She will make a way out of no way. There's a strength, there's an inner fortitude, there's an ability that almost feels supernatural when it comes to a mother's love for her child. So, what if you were to mother yourself to the point where you also know that you too can endure anything, that you can face anything, overcome any situation or any circumstance, even beyond what the world says is possible? They have reports of a mother lifting a car to get her baby out from under that car. It's impossible by the world's standard, but mothers can supersede the natural, because they have that supernatural sense of motherhood. Supernatural. They know that they can move beyond what is possible. Mothers believe in what is possible. A mother will always believe in what is possible for her child. See, because there's another quality of motherhood that is so endearing, and that is that they have faith, the faith to believe in her children's possibility. From the moment that child is born, a mother sees the infinite possibilities that are available for that child, right? They can look in that child's face and they just see all sorts of things. They hold the highest regard and they can take the widest realm of the infinite that they know resides within that child. What is possible, they know it's almost unlimited. A mother believes in her child no matter what. Even if, you know, Aunt Susie or the neighbor is having some suspect feelings about what your child is capable of and can do, that mother's gonna believe, right? They're going to believe. And so the question is for you is then, do you believe in yourself, in your dreams, in the possibility of becoming or doing whatever it is that you care about, that you hold dear, that you hold important? Because if you're going to mother yourself, you're going to have to believe in yourself. That means no more negative self-talk, you know? No more calling yourself names when you make a mistake. Anybody, I can't just me. No more, none of that. No more put downs. You have to believe in yourself and believe in possibilities. You've got to begin to see yourself being, doing, having more than you can imagine. Believing in yourself to the point where you're going to talk yourself up. Because if there's one thing a mother can do, is talk about her child or her children, right? And to talk about them in the positive, in the highest light possible. I won't say that they go around bragging, but they do like to talk about their child's accomplishments, right? And so for us, that's our cue. That's our cue to learn how to affirm ourselves, to not only believe in ourselves, but to speak positively the truth about ourselves, to speak the words of healing and nurturing and comfort and affirmation of who you know yourself to be. Because you've got to see yourself as your mother would and as God does. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. Now, if there's one thing that I know that we love about our mothers when we were children, it was their ability to comfort us when things went wrong, right? That's a beauty, to comfort us when things went wrong or when we had a boo-boo or we experienced some pain on some level. It's a natural instinct, right? Or if we were frightened or maybe we were feeling insecure about a situation, going to school for the first time or being in the company of people you've never, the mother would seek to provide that sense of comfort. And I believe that we still look for someone or something to provide that same sense of comfort and reassurance, because we're still insecure, you know, about certain things. We're still looking for somebody to tell us that it's okay. We're still looking for that place where we can feel that we can be ourselves and it's safe and it's all right, you see. We're looking to find that, and sometimes people look in inappropriate places and inappropriate means to find that sense of comfort and assurance in inappropriate channels and habits. But we can develop the ability to self-soothe ourselves, to comfort and ease those feelings of fear or those emotional pains we might have or the feelings of uncertainty. We can self-soothe. But here's what I say. Don't self-medicate, meditate. Because sometimes, you know, it's all right to go out and if you want to hang out and have a little, you know, a little drink or something, whatever. I don't drink, but that's only because I don't like the taste of alcohol, not because it's something I think is so terribly wrong. However, if you're doing it other than just to relax and socialize and be with friends, if you are doing that and using that as a way to numb your emotional pain, if you're doing it to sort of quiet down the demons, if you're doing it in a way to kind of keep yourself from feeling what you are feeling, then you're off on the wrong path. That's not comfort. That's substance abuse. And so we have to learn how to soothe and comfort ourselves in a healthy way, in a way that will actually allow us to grow and to unfold. Jesus, when he left, said he was going to leave us a comforter, aka the Holy Spirit or the living spirit of truth. See, we have within us a way to find comfort within ourselves. And by turning to the presence of spirit within us to actually heal us and to heal what ails us, we are then blessed. And Jesus calls it the spirit of truth. He said, I'm going to give you a comforter, the spirit of truth, who's going to come in and teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what you need to do. We have a comforter, and it's the truth, and the truth will always set you free. It will always provide the right understanding for whatever is needed in your particular situation at any given time. So if you can condition yourself to find the truth or what's true about that situation, right, or that circumstance, then you'll have the ability to bring a measure of peace and comfort into your experience, because when you condition yourself to look for the truth and to seek the truth, it will ultimately lead you to God, ultimately lead you to the good, because truth is healing. Truth is freeing, right? Truth is affirming. Truth is comforting. You shall know the truth, and it's going to set you free. So if you mother yourself, you've got to begin to tell the truth to yourself about yourself. That's what's going to heal you. Tell yourself the truth about this situation. Oh, this is going to be terrible. Oh, I'm going to never do this, and it's never going to. Is that the truth? No. Tell yourself the truth. Because, you see, not only about yourself and about the situation, but also the truth about God. God is able to take whatever situation you're in and change it around, transform it in the twinkling of an eye. So you tell your truth about yourself, about the situation, and about God, because God's highest will for you is always absolute good. The highest desire that God and your mother might hold for you is the absolute good with the truth. So you begin to mother from that perspective. And then last, I want to say, where would you be without the teaching and the guidance from your mother, from our mothers? Irma Bombeck said this. She said, when your mother asks, do you want a piece of advice? It's merely a formality. It doesn't matter, she says, if you answer yes or no, because you're going to get it anyway, right? I love that. I know that, you know, my mother loves to tell me what to do or say. Like, I'm 5 years old. We're going someplace. She'll tell me something. And then I always say, Mother, I'm grown. I know how to deal with this. And she'll just say, I know, but humor me anyway. Just let me tell you. Don't get upset. Because I get upset. I'm like, are you thinking? I'm like, you know, I can function when you're not with me. But when she's with me, she says, you don't have to say anything. Just let me say it. Don't get upset about it. And I thought, oh, okay. But, you know, because there must be that, I'm not a mother, but there must be that need for them to tell you something that is quite obvious to you, but they got to tell you anyway. So they tell you. And so I'm learning, okay, let me just let her tell me and let me just, you know, be a dutiful daughter and not resist by, I know what I'm doing. You know, we love it driving. I said, Mother, you don't even have a license. I know how to drive, you know. She's, oh, well, you gotta go. But that's it. That's the natural inclination, right? And so we, as children, we deal with it. But thank God we also have access, not only to the wisdom of our mothers, but we have access to divine wisdom, divine guidance. You see, along with the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit offering us comfort, it also provides us with a measure of teaching, a measure of guidance, a meaningful guidance. It also provides insights and understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It causes us to have insights, understanding, because he said, I'm going to leave you the comforter and the teacher who's going to bring to your remembrance everything you need to know. So we have us within us, whether we believe it or not, we really do have all the answers we need inside of us. We have the answers inside of us. We just need to learn how to be open enough and receptive enough to go within to be guided and directed. So you've got to find out, how does Spirit speak to you? How does Spirit guide your path? And the more connected you are to God, the more God you're going to figure out how God speaks to you and comes to you. It could be a flash. It could be intuition. He could use other people to speak truth to you, whatever it is. But find that way in which God comes to you, and then you've got to be able to trust the process. So you practice listening. Listen for Spirit's voice, just as you would listen to seek your mother's guidance. Listen for Spirit's voice and Spirit's wisdom, because Spirit is always present, closer than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. Is the presence of God for all of us, because we lie within the womb of God's love. We lie within the womb of God's presence, his wisdom, his provision, his sustenance. And so we trust that process. We begin to become open and receptive and allow that truth to then move us into our next experience, whatever it is. So, beloved ones, as we remember to honor and respect our mothers, let's really give thanks. Let's give thanks to God that through them, we really can know the love of God. It's unselfish, it's unconditional, it's enduring, and it is complete. So take all of these qualities and of mothering and use them to lift yourself up. Use them to move yourself forward, because that's what your mother would want you to do, to live your best life. That's what she wants, and that's what God desires for you as well. So as you leave, ladies, Each of you will receive a flower. I want you to receive that flower as a reminder to honor who you are and to remember the divine mothering aspect of God. And have a blessed and happy Mother's Day. Blessings.